The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. When Emile Latouche, betrothed to Louis Prevost, learns that he has been disinherited by his uncle and aunt, she immediately finds that the wealthy Captain Chateau Renaud is most attractive. She had previously arranged with her plain cousin Annette that she should meet Captain Renaud in the hope that Annette might perhaps find an eligible husband in him. However, now she monopolizes the captain for herself, and Annette, very jealous, accuses her of this. Emilie laughs and tells Annette that the captain has made jokes about her fatness. And then Emilie rises from her great four-poster bed and goes off to the next room to bathe. Annette, furious, decides that she will write to Louis Prevost and tell him of the state of affairs.
That's what I'll do. I'll write to Monsieur Prevost. When he hears about Captain Renaud, he'll come back post-haste. But his address... I wonder where I can find his address.
Annette! Annette!
What does she want? What is it?
Annette, my sweet, this is my two pink towels. Get everything here. There's no one to help you bathe.
All right. No one to help her bathe. I may be fat, but I'm not helpless. Waited on hand and foot, that's what she wants.
Annette!
All right, I'm coming.
Oh, this is a right little thing.
I've pulled the bell rope three times, and neither Yvette nor Jacqueline have come. Turn me over the soap, please. The highly scented one. The big slab. Take it. Oh, it's down at the bottom of the bath somewhere now. Oh. Oh, how I love warm water. One feels so relaxed. Do you like the perfume?
It's perfume, you know.
Yes, I can smell it.
That will make me smell nice. Mama says that in some houses, there are baths which are built into the floor. They can't be moved around like this one.
Is that an advantage?
Well, they're much bigger, almost like swimming pools. Mama also says that it is elegant to bath twice a week.
As often as that.
But I go one better. I bath four times a week. But you should hear Yvette and Jacqueline complaining. They have to carry the water up two flights of stairs and then carry the dirty water down again. Lazy wenches. One would think they weren't put into our household to work. Pass me my face cloth, if you please.
Yes, Emily. By the way...
Yes?
Do you often write to Louis now that he's in Corsica?
Write?
No, why should I?
Well, he's your fiancé.
Yes, but it mightn't be for long.
Not for long?
What do you mean?
You're betrothed,
I know.
But I've already hinted to Papa that Louis is not as rich as we thought he was. Not now.
Papa shall talk with him when he comes back from Corsica.
And if you were to write to Louis in Corsica, where would you write?
I haven't the faintest idea.
But if there was something urgent to write
quickly,
about...
Quickly, the towel. I've got soap in my eyes. The towel, Annette.
Oh, here you are. I'll wipe your face for you. There.
Where would you write, Emily?
Hmm? Oh, I'd ask his uncle and aunt. No doubt he's left an address there.
Now I can see. Annette, what's the matter?
Nothing.
You're scowling. Almost as though...
Oh, good heavens, Annette. Are you still angry because of what I told you about Captain Renaud?
I'd practically forgotten what you told me.
He didn't say it in a nasty way. But you are fat, Annette. You know you are. And naturally, you're the target for many jokes.
Stop it, Emily. Why do you say these horrible, wicked things to me? You're always telling me I'm fat. You're always crowing over me. All right, just see. Just you wait and see.
Annette, come back.
Oh, dear, she ran off with my towel in her temper. What am I to do? Annette. Jacqueline! Annette! Yvette!
Annette ran down the stairs and out of the house, and soon she was on her way to Louis' uncle, Monsieur Prevost. Though both Louis' uncle and aunt were out, she managed to find out from the housekeeper the address of Louis Prevost in Corsica. And so Annette, her thoughts bitter, penned a note which was to have the direst consequences. A note short enough, but one which was to involve both the twin brothers, as well as Captain Renaud and Amelie, in a most critical turn of events. Meanwhile, in the mountain house of the De Franches, Madame, Pierre, and Louis still wait on Griffo's return. As each day goes by, their anxiety grows, until at last Madame speaks her mind.
Louis, I think we must face that.
Trifot has been gone nearly 3 days now. I fear for his life.
Don't despair, madame.
Monsieur Godet, you don't know the Gedici. They're cunning and clever. They might have lured him into a trap.
You think that Lucien is alive and held prisoner? And that perhaps Griffo tried to help him to escape?
That is exactly what I fear.
But Griffo said that he'd traveled to every village until he had news of Lucien. Surely it'd take more than 3 days to travel to each village?
Oh, he would have sent some message back, surely.
I feel so helpless. I'm a stranger in my own country. I know what should be done, Mother. I should go out on a horse now seeking Griffo. And instead, what do? I sit around here in the house, useless, not able to help him.
You can't help it, Louis. I'm not of much use myself. But Madame is foolish to worry as yet. As Louis says, it would take more than 3 days to travel over the whole of Corsica.
Sir Griffo is broken-hearted. He feels that the catastrophe was in a measure his own fault. He feels that he should have stayed with Lucien.
But it was Lucien's order that he came to you. Don't forget that, Madame.
I know. Listen.
A horseman? Why, Mother, if it should be Griffo...
It comes from the south, not from Ajaccio. We shall see in a moment. Look from the window.
There. He's coming out from the trees now. My eyes are not as good as yours, Louis. Can you see who it is?
It's Griffo. Griffo, come back.
Griffo?
But alone.
Still, he might bring some news of Lucien.
Griffo! Griffo!
Madame, I have news for you. It's good news, madame.
Good news. Good news. You hear that, madame?
Good news. And yet Lucien's not with him.
Madame, he's alive. Your son is alive.
Oh,
we're alive.
Really? Alive, but not well. My news is both good and bad.
Where is he?
He's a prisoner, madame. The Gedici have him.
Oh.
No. Don't be unhappy, madame. There'll be a way. There must be a way. But first, let me tell you my story. I traveled everywhere, madame, questioning the peasants in every district, until at last, down in the south, I came to the village but one where the Gedici lives.
You must have taken your life in your hands.
I know, madame. I know, too, that some of the villagers might go to the Gedici and might tell them that I was there. But, madame, you understand, I was desperate. I was desperate for news. I've been searching for days, madame. And it was then, madame, that I learned the truth. You see, madame, your son was badly wounded. He was stabbed just above the heart.
Oh.
Madame, take courage. Take courage. And prepare yourself for the bad news. The Gedici are nursing him back to health, so that they can lay the lash across his back in the marketplace before all their family.
No.
I'm sorry, madame. I'm sorry, but that is the truth.
Oh, the beasts. The murderers. Sadistic beasts. Something must be done, Griffo. Something must be done.
Aye, madame. Something will be done. Take courage, madame. We'll plan somehow. Remember, there's you, there's myself, there's your son Louis.
Oh.
Of course.
We'll contrive somehow, madame. Although I'm afraid that he is heavily guarded.
Oh, even if we die in the attempt, we must take the risk.
Aye, madame.
Oh, my son, to be flogged by the Gedici. The humiliation. It must never be. I would rather he died at this moment.
Aye, madame, it must never be. We will see to that, madame. Oh, Monsieur de Franchi. On my way, I came level with a mail carrier. There was one letter for you. Now, where did I put that? I told the mail carrier I would take it for you.
Ah, for me?
Aye, monsieur. Wait a moment. Oh,
I know.
Here.
It's from her, from Emile. Already I've written telling her where I am and what I'm doing. But surely this couldn't be a reply so soon.
Griffo, tell me more. What else did you learn?
Very little else, madame. The Gedici were exultant. The whole family are to forgather at Dino Gedici's home to watch the flogging. Madame, they intend to flog him to death.
Oh, and no doubt they will hope to hear him cry out in pain. How disappointed they will be. He would never beg for mercy. Not Lucien. What's more, he will escape.
That is a poor hope, madame, but as you say, we must all try.
Oh.
What is it? What is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing.
Well, you are upset, Monsieur Louis, because of your brother's flight. But take heart, never fear. Perhaps it'll be your honor to effect his escape yourself.
Pierre, would you step with me into the next room, please?
What is the matter, my son?
Well, this is business from France, Mother. I must talk with Pierre. Excuse me.
Well, Louis, what's the matter?
Here. Read this.
It would do you well, Monsieur Louis, to hurry straight back to Paris and to your fiancée, Emilie Latouche. There is a certain Captain Raynor who is attracted to her, and they seem to be seen constantly together. Mark my words, you will lose her. Come before it is too late. A friend.
Good heaven. You hear that, Pierre? It's a quill of poison. It's not true. Not one word of it.
Control yourself, Louis.
But Amelie, my angel on earth, the most sublime creature in the whole of Paris, and filth like this is written about her. I'm off to Paris at once.
But Louis, think a minute.
What?
Think a minute. Your brother. He's in the gravest danger. Are you sure that you can go at a time like this? I feel that if you desert your mother now, she'll never forgive you.
A critical decision is to be made. Should Louis Prevost stay by his family and their need, or should he rush to Paris in response to this startling letter? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.